Welcome to the Crossings Church podcast, where we connect people to God and others. And now, here's this week's message.
Well, I got to tell you, I am just to recap last week, thanks for everybody that saying happy birthday in the truck. And there was a book. They fixed up my truck. For those of you that don't know, I bought a Ford about 14 years ago to help pull around the church trailer. And those were in the days when you had to pull a trailer to do church. And beat it up pretty good over the last 14 years, as you can imagine. And they just redid it. They made it look like a new truck. It's funny, if I jump in, it sounds like the old truck, feels like the old truck, because it is the old truck. But you jump out, you're like, whoa, that is not the old truck. Really cool. But the most important, a lot of y'all signed this book and wrote things in this book, and it took me a long time to get through that. It just very, very touching. I always say live such a life as to have a good funeral. And I felt like I attended my own funeral reading that book. I was like, oh, I should die now. Stop now. But thank you guys so much. I got to tell you, I have troubles with the big ask. I have troubles asking people for things. You could say that I'm not a closer, maybe. How many have troubles asking for big things? Yeah, I hesitate. Some are good at it. Like, I see some people that are just really good at making the big ask. I'm not that person, and I'm not bragging about it. I wish I were better at closing the deal, so to speak, or having the ability to, like, just close the deal. And today I want to talk in Scripture. There's this phrase in the NIV Jesus uses called shameless audacity. In prayer today, he's basically saying that this prayer is answered because the person asking was able to ask something big. In fact, the phrase is shameless audacity. It just, he goes over the top at making this request. And I want to talk about that type of attitude in prayer. Because sometimes my inability to ask big things from person to person can affect my ability to ask God big things. Sometimes I hesitate when I feel like I should be asking more. So in Luke chapter 11, verse 5, we're going to look at this and take a little time and look at how we can be better askers. So Luke chapter 11 verse 5 says, then Jesus said to them, suppose one of you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of the friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? If he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would help us this morning. You'd help us to see how you call us to prayer. Lord, would you speak directly to our hearts? And would your word find its right place? In Jesus' name, amen. So in this story, I want to cover a few things. And the first thing I want to talk about is this guy had a friend. Yay! How many have a friend in here? I hope so. I hope you have more than one. I hope you have a few friends. But I think it's important to point out that in this story, this man had a friend. And he had a good enough friend that could come to him in a time of need. And he was such a good friend that he would literally be inconvenienced and seek to meet this friend's need. He had a good friend. He's more than an acquaintance, because with an acquaintance, if acquaintance came to you at midnight, let's imagine the guy that was on I-10 in Van Buren holding a sign came and knocked on your door at midnight. Bop, 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 bop. You'd be like, get off my porch. Don't be doing that way. But this guy was such a good friend that he could go and knock on someone's door and he would be wrecked. So he had two friends. He had a friend that was in need, needed bread. And he had a friend that had bread. How many got friends that need bread? Okay, how many have any broke friends? Yeah. So he had a broke friend, and he had a friend that had something. It's interesting that Jesus uses the analogy of bread, because Jesus says of himself in John that he's the bread of life, and that the bread he would give would satisfy. The bread he would give would really meet the need. He said, if anyone ate of this bread the bread he gives, which is himself, he said, they would never be hungry again. In fact, in other places, don't work for bread that spoils, that you eat and you're not satisfied. He said, get this bread that really does the trick. So I want to talk about, first of all, being the middleman. The middleman is this guy that had a friend in need and had a friend with supply. I think God's calling a lot of us to begin in prayer to play the role of the middleman or the connector. There needs to be people in our world. Our world is full of people that are desperately hungry for something that's real, something that really satisfies. You don't have to go far to hear the stories of people that have tried everything that would satisfy, anything that would bring peace, anything that would scratch that itch. In fact, right here in this room, at one time or another, or maybe even right now, all of us know what it's like to try to satisfy a need in your life with something that really doesn't satisfy. So many people that need bread. They try to scratch that itch with money, or they try to scratch that itch with a relationship or distraction, entertainment, and all the things. And it satisfies for a moment, but when it wears off, there's a greater emptiness, a greater vacuum. We all have friends today that need bread. They need Jesus. They need what really satisfies. You're the middleman, and here's why. Because you at one time were starving, we're hungry, we're desperate, we're unsatisfied, but now you've bumped into the grace of God, and you found that Jesus is a satisfaction that you can hardly describe, because in him there is a satisfaction, in him there is a joy. And yes, you still have rough days, but there's something in him that's solid and worth keeping, worth building on. So you're the middleman. You have a friend that's so close to you that they would come to you in need. You're close enough to them that you would care about their need and even be disrupted. Check this out. This guy that had a friend come to him at midnight on a journey, he had to get out of bed and he had to be distracted. And you're that friend. You're that friend that would be willing to connect the one in need with the one with the supply. Can I say that your prayer life has to grow to that place where you're saying, I'm willing to be the middleman, to be close enough to people with a need, but yet know the one with the supply. Notice how that friend didn't try to come up with the bread himself. He went somewhere else. God's calling us to be those people that will go pray. Another thing I noticed about this guy's request of the friend with the bread is his request isn't selfish. Sometimes I don't ask big things because I feel like I might be saying something selfish. How many have ever done that? Like, oh, God, would you? And I'm like, that's kind of selfish, Trev. Maybe I won't say that. But check this out. This guy's request wasn't selfish. He had a friend in need that needed bread. One of the things that helps you ask shamelessly audacious prayers, big prayers, one of the things that will help you do that is when you pray prayers that are in line with the heart of God. When you grow past, I'm praying for just myself, and you start praying for somebody else. See, this guy figured something else out. He had a friend in need, so he's going to say, hey, I'm not asking for myself. I'm asking for this friend of mine. Get out of bed. Big request, but this lack of selfishness helped it. I find that the more I pray, the more I don't pray for myself as much as I start praying for things that are closer to God's heart. They may affect me. Don't mistake me. God wants to bless you. God, man, living for Jesus has blessed me immensely. But I find that the more I pray, I want to pray for the things that kind of are in line with Him. And get this, there's a joy in that. I find that when I bump into what God wants and I start praying that way, I get happy about prayer. I get a joy and a satisfaction from that that I don't get from other things. I guarantee you as well. See, this story is cool because he's the middleman is not just looking out for a friend with without bread. He's going to the friend with bread, but he's doing it with a heart that says, this isn't selfish. I want to see something good happen. Let's go on. Luke chapter 11, verse 7 says, and suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. How many think that guy sounds kind of selfish? Like, but what's going on in the story? If you dig a little bit, most households in that day didn't have three-bedroom houses with two master baths. Or a bath and master and a regular, whatever. They had one room. You cooked in that room. You slept in that room. You entertained in that room. They had a room. And when you went down for bed, you would turn out, you didn't flip a switch, you turned out the candle. So you might have had son, son, daughter, daughter, wife, grandma, grandpa, crazy uncle. Everybody's laying in the floor. So for someone to get up in that day and go, doot, 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 it wasn't like you could say, hey, I need a cup of sugar or a loaf of bread. Well, come on in. Be quiet. The kids are upstairs sleeping. No, you just wrecked everything. I mean, everybody's up. Everybody's disturbed. If you had a baby, thanks, dude. Thank you. And what he's saying is like, I can't do this because I'm going to have to light up the place. Everyone's going to get that light in the eyes. I'm going to have to stumble over everybody. I got to open the door. It gets cold in here. No. It's too big of a request. And Jesus says he won't do it because he's your friend, but because your audacity. Let's look at verse 8. He says, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of your friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. I want to tell you, I think it's important that we get to the place where we start asking God for big things. Number one, that we play the middleman, but we start asking God for bigger things. I put it this way. Asking God for something that might even be difficult. How many know this friend, when he came to the door, he knew culturally what he was asking. I'm asking to wake everybody up. I'm asking for inconvenience. I'm asking something so big, it's a little awkward. Come on, get out of bed, do this for me. And because, not of his friendship, but because he asked something so big, Jesus says, he'll definitely get up and give you everything you need. See, this parable's inviting us to ask God for bigger things. How many have ever had something you were praying for that if you shared it out loud, you might have a little difficulty sharing it out loud? Something so big that if you were to stand up here and say, I'm praying for X, People might think you're a little strange. See, I think we need to get back to that kind of thing. We serve a big God. We serve a God that not only has a desire to meet needs, but has everything to meet needs. One of the things, of course, that stops us, we already covered this, is we get caught up in the selfish loop and we don't pray prayers according to his will and his heart. But when we find the will of God, we find the heart of God, I can tell you that we need to start praying prayers that reflect the God we serve, that reflect a bigness and a greatness, that reflect something of the magnitude that if you were to share it out loud, you'd probably be like, a little hesitant to share this, but here. God's calling us to pray some audacious prayers. So I thought about this point. I thought, okay, I'll put myself on the line here. The Monday group over there, there's a Monday sign. We're going to get into small groups here in a little bit. But the last year we've been doing a little group called Gym Rats. I haven't really mentioned it at the church till today. Gym Rats is 1 week we eat food and talk about the Bible. The next week we talk about gym stuff and how to lift and be stronger, primarily powerlifting because I cherry pick. Why not? I'm definitely not going to have a group that gets together and talk about yoga or cardio. So we talk about things I would talk about. So with Gym Rats, this prayer that I've kind of kept close to me, I've shared it with the group now, but I'll share it with you today. I've been praying, God, would you help us get a group of people, we're calling them Gym Rats, that love you, that know the one that has all the supply and all the bread to live intentionally in every gym in the United States, to be the light of Jesus and to pray for that place and to see people come to know you in every single gym in the country. God, that there would be tens of thousands of people that come to know your goodness and who you are in gyms all over this country. It's got to happen. I believe God can make it happen. I want that to happen so bad. That's my little side thing. Crossings is my thing, but my little side thing is God put this in my heart to say, God, would you, I know we can. I know he wants to. I'm like, this isn't selfish, God. Let there be an avalanche, a wave of people know you in every gym all over this country that they couldn't tell if they're churches or gyms. God, let it happen. So that's my crazy, big, audacious prayer. I shared it with you, and some people will think I'm out of my tree. Good. Because we serve a God that can make stuff like that happen. What's your prayer? Has God put something in your heart that you've said, I'm going to believe God for that person in my family that no one said could come to him. I'm going to believe God for something that just seems out of bounds, seems out of reach, seems almost impossible. But the point is, it was this shameless audacity, this boldness, Jesus says, that caused this door to be opened, caused this request to be met. Moving on, Luke chapter 9, 11 verse 9, it says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. I love that this is Jesus talking. It's people that ask. It's people that knock on the door that it's opened. It's people that seek that find. Our requests are way too few and way too small. We need to pray more. We need, instead of running to our solutions and our abilities and what we can do as a church, as families, as individuals in this place, we have to become more attuned to saying, my first approach is to ask my Father. My first approach is to start knocking on a door and seeking an answer because it pleases the heart of God, because the one that has the supply and he can meet every need stands there and says, I'm willing not only to meet your need, but I'm able. I'm the only one able. Come to me. And watch what our Father can do. This is what separates us from true believers, from the practical atheists that would claim any title. It would be those that would say, I believe that God exists, and the proof of my belief is I come to my loving Father, not based upon my belief, but based upon his goodness and grace. And I say, God, here's what I'm asking. And he delights in that. And he answers prayer. So, Luke 11:11 says, which of your fathers, if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I like how this wraps up. Jesus saying, ask, receive. He's talking about bread and this need. And there are going to be practical needs this year that need to be prayed about. Some of you have really practical things. It may be provision for literal bread. For some, it's relational issues. For some, it's issues of your heart. For some, it's physical healing. For some, it goes on and on and on. But Jesus gives this great promise. He says, hey, not only is the Father able to meet needs, but he goes a step beyond. He gives us his Spirit. Romans 8 talks about the Holy Spirit. He teaches us how to pray. He leads us in prayer. He guides us. God, the Holy Spirit, is able to empower our prayer life. What does that mean? It means that we begin to seek God and say, I'm going to step onto the field. I've been on the sidelines way too long, but I'm going to step up to my Father that can meet every need, that wants me to come, and I'm going to begin to request. And God, the Holy Spirit himself, that abides in the hearts of believers, that has transformed you, will begin to lead and guide you in how you should pray. And he's going to begin to drop those huge, audacious things in your life that seem so big that you'd be afraid to share them out loud. And you're going to experience a transformation as you have this great journey in prayer, that the Holy Spirit guides you to pray for the things near his heart that are energizing and big, and powerful things happen. That's cool. That's cool. It's like we can do what we can do, or we can do what God could do. One of the great things, one of the privileges in prayer is the ability to pray with others. The ability to agree in prayer. This is one of the reasons small groups are so important. I snuck into a small group by accident last week. I was heading into En Route on a Thursday, I think it was. And at one of their tables, there were four people that are typically in our first service. Today, half of them are in our second. And I see them sitting there. It's Sandy and Sharon and Kathy and Chris. And they're around the table. And they've got their Bibles laid out. And they've got special little cards they make with scriptures on it. And I could tell they've been working this Bible study for a while because all the cards in their Bible. And I walk in, I'm so delighted to see them. And they were like, oh, hey, Pastor Trev, sorry, we're not a real small group. But they didn't sign up our small group list. They're just doing a small group. Can you do that? Yes. That's the whole goal. That's the point. I'm like, wow, people getting together that love Jesus. I don't care if you're on our list. Awesome. I thought that was great. Why? Because those guys pray for each other. And they're storming heaven together, and they're praying for each other's needs. And if one of them falls down, I guarantee you the other three will pick them up and run. Awesome. Awesome. If we're going to see God do great things in life, it's not just that we pray for big things, that we pray for big things together. Sometimes it's playing the middleman. Sometimes learning to be audacious and letting the Holy Spirit lead us to big prayers bigger than life. Sometimes it's praying with others and having others pray for you. Now, I know around this auditorium today, you see signs there, and they represent days of the week, and they represent small groups that meet on those days here in a moment. And if you're here today and you say, man, my life's so busy, I can't imagine, there's a lot of opportunities to catch all kinds of time slots for groups. I want to challenge you, go for it, try one. Or maybe you're like my newfound favorite group at En Route, and you're just like, hey, I got these believers I hang with, and we're together, and we pray, and we encourage each other. Awesome. The point is not for you to fall into a cookie cutter that we make. The point is for you to find a place. And a place where you're going to grow in what Jesus is doing in your life. A place where you can experience the goodness of God. I'm going to call all the small group leaders up real quick. They're going to occupy the front. That's real quick. And they're going to occupy the front here. And I'm just going to give a real brief explanation as to who they are. You may be saying, Pastor Trev, you've gone all over the map here today. Forgive me. In your bulletin, you're going to find a card. You're going to find two cards, your regular connection card. And on that connection card, I have a few challenges for you. One of them is this. I would love for everybody in this room today to pray for a friend that needs bread. How many have a friend right now that has a need? Maybe they don't know Jesus, but they have a need. And I don't want you to say, yeah, I'll do it. I want you to write their name down somewhere. Somewhere I want you to be intentional and pray for that person that God's going to meet their need. They need a middleman in their life the worst way, the worst kind of way. And you're that person. You stand between them and the resources of God. You need to pray for them. You have access to bread. You pray for them. Don't pretend someone else is going to do it. It's you. Number two, I'd love for everybody that would to memorize Luke chapter 11, verses 9 through 10. So we begin to build faith to say, hey, I have a Father that invites me to ask and I'll receive. To seek and I'll find. To knock and the door will be opened. And then lastly, I would love for you guys to say, Lord, would you guide me to a prayer that scares me to death? That's bigger than life. I remember when Garth was sick. Carol stood out to me one day. I was there visiting and Garth was in the coma and was choking. And she jumped up and she says, in Jesus' name, live. Bold. Bold, bold, bold. I loved it. And can I tell you, Garth, you're here today. Amen. That was an audacious prayer. That's cool. Can I encourage people here to say, God, would you lead me to pray for something audacious? Let me pray for family or for needs. There are needs here in this room. So if you'll fill out your card and just check off what you'll do that. One of the groups I love, guys, sorry I have you staying here exposed for so long. One of the things I'm loving right now is we started this follow-up team on Mondays, and you're invited if you can make it. Mondays at the church office from 9 to 11, we have coffee. We pray for every request that comes into this room on these cards, and we try to respond to all the things there, and we pray and we respond. Great group, great group. And that's going to happen. So if you fill out a card, don't think we just take them out and throw them away somewhere. We care about what's going on here in your life, and we'll be seeking God on your behalf. But if you want to be part of the follow-up team, come on, that's a great small group. So here we go. I'm going to run through these. Forgive my whatever. This is Shannon Park. She's the head of greeting. If you would like to be part of the greeting team, that's a great group to be a part of. They meet periodically and have dinner at the Parks house, and we could use your smiling face. If you don't smile, don't volunteer. Seriously. You got to smile. You got to look friendly. We don't want some grumpy bulldog out front. So if you're interested in greeting, Yes. And she said all ages. And we have Richard and Adrene here. Now, Richard's been in ministry 40 years. He's forgotten more than I know. And he gave me this verse in Deuteronomy. It says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. Richard is going to be doing a study in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. It'd be an amazing group to be a part of. What day?
Mondays.
What time?
6:30.
Monday at 6:30. So please check that out. Hint, Josh McDonald is one of our gym rat group leaders. And I have some great gym rat group leaders. I have Feely out here. I have JT somewhere. Cody in the back. And we have some great leadership in the rats. If you're interested in checking out gym rats, come see Josh over there on Mondays. And you don't have to be an amazing athlete. Look, they let me in. I told the first service that one day I'm going to be in shape like Josh, and Cindy's standing here and says, no, he's not. Thanks, Cindy. This is my wife, Cindy, for those of you that don't know. The love of my life. That's no lie. And Cindy is leading a women's Bible study, 9:30 at her house every other Saturday. The first one is this week. It's on Bill Hybels' book, The Power of a Whisper, on hearing God's voice, and it is a brunch, sorry. She sent me an email telling me what to say, and I failed. But be a part of that. It's a fun group, ladies. You would enjoy it, I'm sure. This is Jasmine, and Jasmine does all this coordinating work on small groups. She does such a great job, and she and her husband have a group that meet on Tuesdays.
Thursdays.
And they, I have a paper here. I refuse to look. And they have small groups with young adults. So if you're a young adult, they have a little baby. So if you have kids, you can bring a kid. This is Tom Lane. Tom, Sundays at 9 o'clock here. So if you're like, I can't make all this week stuff. I work from sunup to sundown and then some. If you came an hour earlier, the investment would be so worth it. It's an opportunity to dig deeper. It's a book called Classic Christianity. If you want to put some wheels on your faith and get stronger in your faith, please come out here, hit this class at 9, and then join us at 10:30. You won't regret it. These are the Heimbucks. They're doing the hunting, fishing, outdoors group. Love these guys. If you're into outdoors, you want to come see these guys and check out the Heimbucks group. I mentioned the middlemen. I feel like these guys do that so well. Last weekend, they had a Christmas tree burning party. How many think that sounded like the coolest thing in the world? So I rolled over to the Heimbucks house.
Fire safety,
for sure. And they taught you how not to do that in your house. They like to eat food. But the middleman thing with them is I went there and there were so many hunters and fishers that don't go to church yet. And they're genuine and you can tell they love God, they love people, and you're such good models for that, guys. This is Stephanie Hyatt. Stephanie's a new group leader. She had a group last year that really rivaled every group around here. It became the coolest group ever. How do you do that? You're just amazing. And her group's open. It's on Wednesdays, 7 o'clock, and she was joking. She's like, I lead a group of couples. So if you're a young couple, if you're single, check out Steph's group. This is Abigail Gorman leaning on Aubrey. Thank you. Just hold her up. Abigail is hosting the group that I'm leading on Thursday nights, and those guys will be there. And 7 o'clock, it's a general group. We do sermon-based questions. Love for you to be a part of it. Bring food. Oh, and yes, we have childcare big time, like on steroids. So check us out. This is Daniel and this is Aubrey. And they are hosting the group that Megan Johnson leads. And they're on Tuesday nights, 7 o'clock. They too have kids. Lots better kids. They have better kids. So you want to check them out. This is Kitty Fernandez. And Kitty has been doing financial peace now for about 4 years before. Listen, I'm telling you what, the goal is not to get rich. The goal is to get out of debt. And if we could all be out of debt, that would be such a cool thing as a church. She leads this so well. She does such a great job. Peace. It is going to be on what night?
Tuesday nights,
7 o'clock, 6:30. Not looking at my paper, Cindy. Okay, Kitty just said, be there on time. She does prizes for those that get her on time. She starts at 6:30. I've been to her class. When she starts, she starts. Don't be late. And so check that out. I think if you haven't done it, you need to. This is Sammy. Sammy and Robin. Robin's not here right now. They lead a group called Helping Hands. Is Robin here? They lead a group called Helping Hands, and they've done a ton of outreach this last year. They work with homeless. They work with people in need all over, and they meet like once a month for activities. So if your schedule doesn't allow you to be in a group regularly, this is a great one to be a part of, and they're doing a lot of great stuff. And this is Steve and Candy. They are doing a group on Tuesday nights, 7 o'clock, and it's called Behold Your God. Great study. Super solid stuff. I can't say enough about what they're doing. And then this is Doug Leslie, my bookend. Doug is doing a Saturday study every other Saturday on the book of James. Again, great Bible teacher. I have to say, this year, I would go to any one of these groups and be happy I went. Excellent small groups. They're going to leave here and they're going to go stand around signs that represent when they meet. So would you give them a hand as they go? Now, you have a card for small groups in your bulletin. And you actually have two cards. You have a regular response card and you have this small group card. And you're like, all I do is fill out cards. Thank you. And we want to encourage you, if you would be interested in being in one of these small groups, fill out your information. And you can do one of two things with this card. If you have questions for any of these small group leaders, like where do you live, what should I bring, what's the nature of the group, they're there to talk to you. They'll answer any question you have. And then you can give them your card personally. Or they're going to be ushers at the back, and you can drop your card off with them. In addition to your response card, and we love those because we want to be able to pray for you and see what we're connecting with in terms of responding to the message. Would you stand with me? We're going to pray at this time, and I'm closing like 3 minutes early, so that's amazing. That's a miracle in itself. So you have a little time to get around and say hey to some of these people before you got to go. So let's pray. Father, you know that we just love this group of people. And I pray your best on their lives. I pray your blessing on them. I pray, Lord, that they would encounter what it's like to play the middleman. I pray, Lord, that you'd put big prayers in our hearts this year. To pray for big things, God, that you would inspire. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us connect. And Lord, that we could truly say it's better with you, Lord, that we would grow as a family. Bless this church, bless this people in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. Go with God.
Thank you for listening to the Crossings Church podcast. We meet at Desert Edge High School on the northwest corner of Yuma and Estrella Boulevard in Goodyear, Arizona. Our service times are 9 o'clock and 10:30. Do you have kids? Bring them to our kids' service at 10:30 a.m. You can find us at www.crossingschurchaz.org. Thank you for listening to this week's message. God bless and have a great week.